Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
It's like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 25 April 2023. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're glad you're with us. We're going to bring on another good special guest, first-time guest again tonight. We're going to talk to Dr. Ingrid Skop, and we're going to tell you about what she's going to share with you in a minute. You don't want to miss this, folks, because right now we're in the middle of a battle, a legal battle, that could save millions of lives, seriously. But anyway, before we do that, don't forget, we are still offering the rest of this week, the Gay Manifesto, something I read on the radio back in 1993, about got the radio station burned down, or threatened to be burned down, in Somersville, West Virginia. And I read on a program, I think, last week, and everything we read in the articles come to pass. Back then, people got so angry when I read on the radio that they threatened to burn the station down, boycott station, picket the station. And I had wheels fall off my car and everything. Now, I'm serious about that. But it's all happened. So people don't threaten that anymore. They just they still ignore it, but it doesn't go away. So the Gay Manifesto, folks, is yours just for postage. $3 to $4 or $5, whatever you can do to pay for postage. All we ask is a couple pages long. Love for you to have it. And I do mean that. And, of course, we're going to keep mentioning the product, Sugar to Fiber. I don't know how I can tell you how good that product is and what's done for me. And I sincerely mean that. That between that and Carbon 60, it's been phenomenal. But Sugar to Fiber has lowered my diabetic numbers at least 40 to 50 points. And I'm telling the truth on that. I will never lie to you for anything in the world. And available here at the ministry, folks, you try a bottle. If it doesn't work for you, get your money back. If you're borderline diabetic or diabetic, the product works. Every diabetic needs more fiber in the body. This does it. This changes 90% of the fiber you eat, but the carbs you eat, the sugar you eat, into fiber, and helps you maintain your sugar levels. You don't mean you go out and pig out now and eat anything you want. That's not what I'm saying. You maintain what you're trying to do to help yourself. This really helps you along the way, and I sincerely mean that. It's available, folks. Like I said, regular price $49.95. You get 10% off with one bottle. Order two more, get 15% off those bottles, and one bottle will last me for about 3 weeks, because I take two before I eat two times a day. So it's something that does work. I don't know what else to tell you. It really works. It's available here at the ministry at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. And I hope you take my word for this, folks. It does work. And it keeps in mind, we have other products here that we do offer, because I do use them myself. I mean, a toothpaste and mouthwash, the Carvite. I take all these things, and the Strauss products, I take them all because they do work, or I wouldn't do it. Our guest tonight is Dr. Ingrid Skop, and I hope I pronounced your last name right. This lady is a board-certified OB-GYN, and she's delivered over 5,000 babies, folks, in her career in Texas. She has experienced firsthand treating women for complications after they've taken the murder pill, the abortion pill. The Supreme Court's going to make a decision on her, I guess, in the next couple of days. And she's performed, including performing emergency surgery earlier this year on a woman who bled for 2 months after the abortion pill. This lady knows wherewith she speaks, and she's going to tell you what the horrendous downside of this pill is, folks, other than murdering the babies even. 53% of all the murders of unborn babies in this country are done by medication. And I promise you, folks, I'm praying the Supreme Court will go in our favor. I really am. But all heck's going to break loose. I mean, already we're making the other side very angry. We have transgenders now threatening to arm themselves and attack Christians and conservatives. And this is all fact. And I really hate coming to that. But it's come to that because the good people in this country didn't stop it many, 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 many years ago. The church kept her mouth shut about it. It's hard to put all the spirits back in the box once Pandora's box has been opened. And this is the situation where we're seeing right now that we have to confront it. Whatever the results are, none of our business. Our business is do what's right. And Dr. Ingram, are you there?
I am here. Thank you, Pastor Butch.
Hey, it's good to have you. It truly, truly is. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. I know you're busy fighting all kinds of things and still working a job. And my goodness, young lady, you must be in excellent health to keep up with all this.
Well, all this busyness keeps you going for sure. But no, I'm happy to be here talking about this. I love to talk about it because I think, unfortunately, as you said, the average American doesn't really understand, and unfortunately, the average Christian doesn't understand what's going on.
Well, I hate to say this, but the average Christian doesn't understand a whole lot about anything. And I'm just telling like it is. I've been preaching for 40 years, and that's just a fact. They've had their head buried in the sand for so long, waiting for the rapture. They don't know what's happening. But tell the folks a little bit who Dr. Ingrid Skopje is and what and how. Just give us some of your biography.
So I have, as you said, I've been practicing in San Antonio, Texas as a obstetrician for over 30 years. I came by my pro-life views really from a very young age. I am the oldest of six children. My father is a pediatrician, and they obviously loved children, welcomed all of us, and now 21 grandchildren, one great-grandchild, so they're living the rewards of being so pro-children and pro-family, my parents are. In fact, today Amen. Is my mother's 83rd anniversary, or birthday. So,
All right. That's something to be very thankful for. You've been blessed to have your mommy that long. But you go right ahead.
No. I've been blessed. I love my job, and I just over the years... you know, of course, abortion always saddened me because it was the ending the life of one of my patients. But just more and more, as time's gone on, I've recognized that the other patient is injured very frequently as well. And so I think I speak out as much now for the woman who's my patient, who for so many reasons, physically, emotionally, mental health, socially, abortion has just been very, very damaging to women in our country. I am always interested in just helping people to understand because, again, you know, it's there's so many euphemisms, there's so much gaslighting by the pro-abortion media that most Americans don't understand very much at all about abortion. They make assumptions, but unfortunately, many of those assumptions are not correct.
Wow, and you've been OBGYN for how many years now?
A little over 30.
Wow, you don't sound that old. Good for you.
I was a Doogie Howser, went to medical school as a 12-year-old. No, just kidding.
Okay. Graduated 13. I hear you. Okay. All right. So you've been working with children for many, many years. Obviously, all the time you've been in practice, murdering babies have been legal in every state in different degrees. Mm-hmm. And how many women have you had to counsel through this or help get through this or who have had this done and come to you later and been really tore up over it?
You know, it's been a lot of women. And I would say that one thing to be aware of is that Although you think this is an obstetric issue, right? You know, you hear the euphemism that this is between a woman and her doctor. The reality is that only about 10% of obstetricians will perform an abortion. So even though it's within my profession, it's not something that really has affected me or affected my partners, because as a group, we made the decision not really so much based on morality, but just based on convenience that we weren't going to do abortions. And so the women don't come to their doctor. They know the organization that does the most abortions in this country is well known. It's on the tip of everyone's tongue. And so women will fall into this action in a crisis, generally without a lot of thought. And, you know, as much as you hear about too many barriers to abortion, I would argue that the opposite has been a case, that there's not enough barriers to stop a woman from taking a knee-jerk response to a crisis that she later regrets. But yes, I've spoken to women, you know, early in my career when I had more time to really dig into this. You know, I might ask a new patient that I saw that she'd reported an abortion on her history intake form. And even if it had been 20 years before, many times tears would well up in her eyes and she would just, you know, they're surprised to be asked about it. They don't think anybody cares really, but even long after the event, women still feel pain. I've cared for women who've had physical complications, some that have had such serious injuries from surgery that they've never born a child, others that the surgical procedure that dilates the cervix sometimes can damage the cervix. And so I've seen a number of women who've had babies very, very early because of the damaged cervix, the incompetent cervix. They could not keep a baby in. Oh, and of course, women are never warned about that. More recently, as we've seen the abortion industry pivot from surgical abortions toward chemical abortions, you mentioned that over half of the abortions in yes. our country are performed with these pills. Now I'm seeing women who either come to my office or come to the emergency room when I'm covering the emergency room who've had a complication. And the complications are far more frequent. Of course, the abortion industry says, well, maybe 1, maybe 2% will have a complication, but they downplay the complication. They say, well, you know, even if they needed surgery, you know, they would have had surgery anyway if they'd not had the chemical abortion, so no big deal. But it is a big deal. So a lot of these women, you know, like you mentioned, I cared for a lady recently who'd bled for every day for 2 months, and this is not uncommon. Just to back up for your listeners, the chemical abortion pill that is approved in the United States by the FDA is 2 pills. The first one is called mifepristone, and it blocks the progesterone receptor, so it cuts off the hormonal support and kills the embryo or the fetus, and then it's followed about 24 hours later by a second pill called misoprostol that essentially induces labor, causes contractions to express the pregnancy tissue. But it doesn't always work. And in fact, the further along in the pregnancy, the more tissue there is, the more likely it is to fail to express all the tissue. In that case, the woman just continues to cramp, continues to bleed until finally somebody gives her the care she needs. And that's surgery to remove the tissue. But what happens a lot of times is that they go back to the abortion provider, and the abortion provider doesn't offer them a surgery, but will just say, here, take another dose of the pill. You know, get out of my office, take some more pills. You know, so they just kind of feel like if they kick the can down the road that they don't eventually have to take care of the woman. But, of course, what eventually happens is the woman gets frustrated, saying they're not taking care of my needs, right. And then they'll come, you know, to an emergency room. And when they come to an emergency room, it's a big deal. I mean, it's not the same as if you went to a clinic for a minor procedure. They're taking up space in emergency rooms where people are in crisis, and they're taking the attention of the physicians. And of course, it costs a great deal more to be seen in an emergency room than to be seen in an abortion clinic. And when I've had to care for these women and do surgery, sometimes I have to call the operating room team in the middle of the night to take care of their needs. Or if it's during the day, maybe scheduled surgeries need to be bumped so I can take care of this emergency. Or, you know, I may be, in many cases, I'm covering labor and delivery. I may have patients in labor that I need to leave so that I can go down and care for this emergency. So it's far more of a problem for other doctors to end up caring for these women than the abortion industry likes to admit.
I want to ask you a question, if you don't mind, because we're talking about physical side effects now, too. How many ladies have you dealt with who had murdered their children that come in, maybe expecting another baby, or come in and see for different reasons, that are having mental problems, not just physical, but mental problems, maybe spiritual problems because of what they've done?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, everybody, it's interesting because pretty much everybody will acknowledge, because it's well known scientifically, that this is a living human being in the woman's uterus.
Right.
But, of course, the industry tries to, you know, harden people to that fact and say, well, it's not a person yet. It doesn't actually have the value of the woman. And so if the woman needs it, that life can be terminated. So, you know, one thing we need to have as an honest conversation in our country is, you know, what sort of problems are severe enough that they warrant killing a person? You know, I mean, that's, you know, the bottom line. But these women, again, they fall into it in crisis, but they know what they're doing, but they're just, it's like a wild animal caught in a trap, you know, gnawing off its leg to free itself. That's an analogy that I think is very powerful, but very true. That's what they do. They self-harm to get out of the situation.
Right.
But, of course, they live with that self-harm subsequently.
That's the point, yes. That's the point I was trying to make, because being a pastor, I've counseled a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. But I've counseled a few ladies who have killed their children. And they know what they've done. They murdered their child. And when I've talked to them, they're really having a hard time accepting forgiveness for that. They're really having a hard time getting over that, because no matter how much they pray about it, they just can't get it out of their mind. And that's a tough one.
Right, and it is. It, you know, subsequent religious conversion, you know, recognizing or having another child. You know, I've seen many women who really had an abortion, never gave it a thought, apparently, but now they're pregnant with a desired child, and they see that baby on the ultrasound, and they just crumble, and they say, what did I do? You know, it can be a delayed reaction. It could be 20 years later that the reality hits them. And those are the fortunate ones. There's so many that don't ever have a child, you know, either through complications or because, I mean, this is another issue entirely, but, you know, the narrative of her body, her choice, her decision, I think has led so many men in our culture to say, well, her problem, right? Like, it's not my problem. If she could decide to abort, she can decide to carry a child. I don't need to be involved either way. And we see this reflected prior to Roe in 1970, only 11% of the children in our country were born to unmarried mothers. Currently, it's 40%. So, you know, of course, back at the time of Roe, you know, people would say, well, this will be the end of unwanted children. Every child will be a wanted child. Well, you know, no. The case has become that there's so many single mothers trying to hold it together, trying to take care of their children without the support of a father. And, of course, I think we've all seen the societal ills that follow that. So, you know, that's just another area where it's hurt women. It's hurt them in that when they do have an unintended pregnancy, the man says, I'm out of here, you know. So...
yeah, that has happened, and of course we get in the spiritual side of that also, and what the word says about fornication. But that's a different topic, different night. But so you've been working with these women now for 30 years, and you've delivered over 5,000 children. You've seen what this pill has done to people physically, and you've had to treat people with this. Now, all this information that you have is not kept secret. I'm sure it's come out before panels and judges and everything else and before healthcare providers. What kind of reception are you getting trying to share this with people?
Well, you know, I mean, it really hasn't come out until this most recent lawsuit. So let's talk about that a little bit, because there's a lot to unpack there. The Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine has sued the FDA. And, you know, I think probably a lot of people are aware this is going on because it's really gotten a lot of mainstream coverage. And that's good, because up until now, there's really been very little mainstream coverage of chemical abortion complications. The abortion pill was, or this regimen, mifepristone and misoprostol, was approved by the FDA in the year 2000, and it was a very politicized process. Bill Clinton went to the French manufacturer and said, bring this pill to the United States. So how odd is that for an American president to go ask, you know, for this abortion pill?
Well,
to come.
It used to be unheard of, but now it's very common.
Right. I think it's the beginning of many odd things. And in order to bring it here, the FDA actually had to break its own rules. And a couple of things that it did. One is that it categorized pregnancy as a life-threatening illness. It approved it under, it's called Subpart H, Accelerated Approval Regulations, where they said, this is such a serious illness, this pregnancy, that we have to bring this drug, even though we know the drug can be dangerous. And also, as part of that category, is there could be no other treatment available. Well, surgical abortions, back in the 1990s, there were about 1.5 million surgical abortions every year. So clearly they were, you know, doing the job, but nonetheless, they brought it here. Their own rules require them to do specific testing in a pediatric population. If you're going to use a drug, let's make sure it doesn't work differently. And in this case, it's a hormone blocker. Could it affect a girl's development? Could it affect her future fertility? Does it work different in a 12-year-old than a 20-year-old? Well, the FDA just ignored its own rules. Never in the 23 years since then has it done any studies looking at a pediatric population. So that was bad. The studies that they pointed to were very poor studies. The complications were high, around 8%. But nonetheless, they brought it out in 2016 under President Obama, of course. The FDA loosened the restrictions. Previously, it was only allowed until 7 weeks gestation. They loosened it to 10, even though, again, they knew that there were more complications in the higher gestational ages with more tissue. They said it no longer needs to be a physician, that a nurse practitioner could prescribe it. But, of course, only a physician has the surgical skills to take care of the complications. So, essentially, they allowed people to prescribe it who there's no way they're going to help when there's a complication.
Well, let me ask another question. How many women had babies forced out that were still alive?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that does happen. So backing up. So initially, there were in-person requirements that said a doctor, like, does an ultrasound, finds out how far along a lady is, makes sure she's in that 10-week range, and they supervised it. But under President Biden in 2021, using the COVID pandemic as an excuse, which it was used in as an excuse for so much malfeasance, but they took away the in-person prescribing requirements. So they said this is so women can get it through telehealth because it's too dangerous to see a doctor, which, of course, was ridiculous. But they took away the requirement for ultrasound. So now women can say, well, I think I'm 6 weeks along, and they'll give it to them. They're not making sure that women don't have an ectopic pregnancy, a pregnancy in their fallopian tube. These pills don't work on an ectopic. And so if a woman takes them, thinks she's going to have an abortion, when she gets pain and bleeding, she may think, oh, that's the abortion pill's working, when in fact it can be a sign that her tube is rupturing and that her life is in danger.
Oh,
and women have died from chemical abortion, from ruptured ectopics, if they were not diagnosed. But nonetheless, the Biden administration allowed that to happen. No labs, no, there's not even the ability to, like, know for sure that the person that they're talking to by telemedicine is the person who wants an abortion. And now it's even worse, because it can now be ordered online from international distributors, delivered through the mail without any doctor ever being involved. And so, of course, that means that sex traffickers can get it, incestuous abusers, coercive boyfriends and fathers. So it has really just taken it. It's back to being, you know, it was interesting that at the time of Roe, the argument was we need to make abortion legal so it can be safe. And now they're like, we don't even care if it's safe anymore, as long as the unborn child dies. So that's where we are today.
That's true. And, you know, and I can imagine I'm sorry, but I just can't imagine the horrendous pain and fear and anger that must go through a lady whenever their child is maybe forced out and are still alive when it's dropped in the commode or whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
My mind cannot wrap around that. I mean, how does anyone survive that?
Yeah, I mean, we already know we have a mental health crisis in this country, and it unfortunately disproportionately affects our young people and women. And now, like you said, here's what the experience looks like. The average woman will bleed for about 2 to 4 weeks, so a lot of bleeding, very heavy bleeding. The pain, one survey, 40% of the women described the pain as severe because essentially they're going into labor. And then what you just said, at 10 weeks gestation, that baby is about the size and shape of a gummy bear. He's clearly identifiable as a human being, and he's in her toilet. And there's no lower age limit. So this could be a 12-year-old that some incestuous abuser gave the pills to. That her parents don't know, nobody knows, and she's looking at that, and she's realizing, oh, my gosh, that is my baby, and I just killed my baby. And, I mean, it's just, you know, like you said earlier, it's gotten crazier and crazier and crazier, and this is where we are today, and that is what the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine lawsuit is about. We have said it's five medical groups and a handful of doctors that have said, And they've been going through the channels since mifepristone was approved in 2000. So it's not like we all of a sudden decided this is a good thing to do. They went through citizen petitions. They got stonewalled by the FDA every step of the way. So the lawsuit was the final recourse. And Judge Kaczmarek in Amarillo, when he looked at the evidence, he was convinced. So as you probably know, he said, absolutely, it should have never been approved. So that was his ruling. It got bumped up, of course, to the Fifth Circuit, and they said they weren't quite as strict, but they said we should bring it back to the initial approval. It's inappropriate to have it, like, widespread without any medical supervision. The Supreme Court looked at the evidence for a couple of days. In my opinion, they probably didn't give themselves enough time to look at all the good evidence that we had submitted.
Well, in my opinion, they're almost afraid to rule. I think that's my opinion. They're afraid to rule because it could cause an uproar. But we're getting ready to go to break in a second. But now you're testifying tomorrow. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
I want to discuss after the break what's going to happen there. But folks, okay. you listen to a firsthand account from a doctor who's been there, been through this, and she's doing her best to tell the people and warn the people. And the news media doesn't talk about this at all. You're not going to hear the news media. You're not going to hear it anywhere in news media. And the Supreme Court is in a quandary. When they overturned Roe v. Wade, you saw what happened. If this goes down and over half about 40 million babies are killed by this pill, you can imagine what's going to happen with the left when they get all fired up. Back at the break, folks, and phone call next half hour, as always, at 844-769-2944. Wow, what a powerful testimony. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nemana Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nemana a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. with organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, this is war. And not only are lost souls at stake, innocent lives are at stake and have been for over 50 years. We've allowed the slaughter of between 80 and 100 million unborn children that we know of. This has not ended. Roe v. Wade did not end it. It may be took it away in some areas, praise God, but overall the so-called blue states are still condoning it and promoting it, and this is what we're seeing, and we're watching our nation being judged right now because of this, and believe me, folks, the judgment's just getting started on this country. Now, I got a couple questions to ask you. First off, you're testifying tomorrow. Would you like to talk with that a minute and tell you what you're going to be testifying about and where?
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's the Senate Judiciary Committee, and it's my testimony is going to be juxtaposing and discussing two federal legislative proposals. Senator Graham is proposing a 15-week limitation. So, I mean, when you look at the grand scheme of things, that actually doesn't save that many abortions. Only estimated 4% of abortions occur after 15 weeks.
Wow.
But the converse, the other option is, of course, a misnamed Women's Health Protection Act, which actually all it does is allows abortion at any time in pregnancy for any reason and actually to be performed by any kind of provider. This legislation doesn't even require the abortionist to be a doctor, even if it's a 7-month abortion. And it doesn't even require him to be medically licensed. It basically is all about just widespread access to abortion, no protections for women, no safety or health protections. It doesn't even really appear to require the person requesting the abortion to be the pregnant woman. Because, of course, you know how everything is phrased now. They don't even use the word woman except in the title.
Right.
But even they don't use the word pregnant person but once either. So it's a person seeking abortion is what they say throughout. Which, what does that mean? I mean, obviously, somebody who doesn't want to be a father could be seeking an abortion for his girlfriend. You know, so it's not. I mean, it's just a very expansive legislation that essentially, and it also won't even punish if a baby escapes the abortion and is born alive. There's no punishment for killing the baby after birth, so it actually allows infanticide as well. So, when you think about it, our government is considering right now. Yeah.
And when you think about it, it's infanticide from day one. But anyway, that's what it boils down to. But now,
it's the same person, just different
name,
right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, absolutely, it is. Yeah. Now, what, in your opinion, what do you think is going to happen with the Supreme Court? I mean, what are your insiders saying about which way they're leaning?
Yeah, well, I think I agree with you that I think the reason they did not make a ruling and punted it back to the Fifth Circuit on Friday is they know it's going to be painful for them if they take a stand. I mean, we all saw what happened after Dobbs, how the justices who had young children, that their children were threatened at school, that there were people trying to enter their homes to kill them. I mean, it's really a third world country to some extent that it feels like right now, that just the threats were allowed and the Department of Justice did nothing. So I clearly they know that if they do a ruling that does in any way limit abortion, that they will have the same type of pushback. So I think maybe they're just pushing the can down the road a little bit before that happens. But the evidence, in my opinion, is so strong, particularly the 2021 changes that took away all medical supervision. No matter how somebody feels about abortion, surely they can look at that and say that is not good for women to have these pills just widespread, available to anybody, their abusers, to end a pregnancy that perhaps they don't even want to end. And, of course, all of the physical damage that comes along with that. You asked earlier, and I didn't fully answer the question, you asked about babies being born alive. Or, you know, what the state of the babies is. There's a lawsuit against Planned Parenthood right now for a teleabortion where the woman thought she was 6 weeks pregnant. And, of course, because it was a telemedicine abortion, they didn't do an ultrasound. They sent her the pills. She took the pills. She delivered a stillborn 7-month baby.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, that's the kind of things. I mean, you do need a doctor to do an exam or do an ultrasound to know what you're dealing with. So clearly, in my opinion, I don't think the Supreme Court can look at that without backing this up at some point, whether they take mifepristone completely off the market or whether they back it up to where it needs to be prescribed by a doctor, where we need to report complications, where we need to, you know, do it at a lower gestational age. Either one of those things, in my opinion, would be good because it would protect women. But if for some reason they're too cowardly to do anything, women are going to die. And women are going to be so harmed by this.
The Supreme Court doesn't stand with the right ruling on this. The states will still have to make a decision about the appeal themselves individually, right?
Right, right. So, you know, and that's one of the reasons I think that the abortion industry has pivoted toward these pills. they've seen for years that there might come a day when Roe v. Wade, their golden calf, would go away. And now that that day has come, they are using these pills to circumvent state laws. As you mentioned, I'm practicing in Texas, and we've had abortion restrictions in place for over a year and a half now, but along that time period, I'm seeing more and more women that have been harmed by chemical abortion. They're bringing them across the border from Mexico. They're bringing them across the border from New Mexico. They're bringing them through the mail. So they're still providing abortions in the states that have that are trying to protect unborn life by having these chemical abortion pills so widely available.
My goodness. So, again, folks, by the way, phone lines open. We'll get to y'all in just a minute, I promise. 844-769-2944. So the Supreme Court is supposed to make a ruling Friday, perhaps? Is that the date right now?
You know, I actually think it's going to take longer than that. They actually, last Friday, they said they wanted it to go back to the full Fifth Circuit. The initial Fifth Circuit ruling had been, I believe, just three of the justices. So they're remanding it to the lower court to look at the full evidence. So I think that means that a trial is ongoing. So the good news is, if any of the media choose to cover the trial accurately and honestly, the American people are going to get this opportunity to see the evidence of how harmful these pills are.
Well,
but it could be a long time before the Supreme Court really eventually rules.
I pray that the media would cover it accurately and honestly, but I'm not holding breath on that. I haven't seen a whole lot of accurate, honest dealings in the press for many, many years. And that's a sad statement to live in a country that we like to think we have a free press that does what's right, but we'd be foolish to say that. So, but in your opinion, though, do you think there's a chance the Supreme Court, once it hears it all, probably will rule in favor of outlawing the drug, so to speak?
I think they will. I think they will either say it never should have been approved, or they'll say we'll allow the initial approval, but we need to keep tight restrictions on it. We do need to pray for courage for them, because if they don't rule that way, it's not going to be that the evidence wasn't there. It's going to be that they were not brave enough to do it.
Yeah, we need prayer protection on them also, because this is, folks, we're at war here. I know people want to hear that. We're already in a civil war. No, we're not in the trenches yet, so to speak, but I can see it coming. But between good and evil, not between North and South and states' rights, no. This time it's going to be between good and evil, period, between the transgenders, the pro-murder, against those who are willing to stand against it. And unfortunately, most Christians will just sit back and wait for the rapture. They're not going to get involved. They're not worried about it at all. But one of the worst sin that I can find in the Bible anywhere listed in the Bible is the slaughter of innocent children. That is the worst sin of all. It's even worse than sodomy. The slaughter of innocent children. Put your children through the fire. And they're having the largest satanic gathering in Massachusetts, I believe it is. Say this month. I don't remember the dates exactly. And they're going to have a demonstration for pro-abortion, pro-murder, because murdering innocent children is a satanic, demonic act, and Satan gets favor out of every innocent child slaughtered. Satan gained influence and strength through every innocent child that is slaughtered. And folks, it's been going on for many, many years. Now we're seeing this nation literally fall apart morally in every aspect, right down to 5-year-old being taught that they can change sexes at 5 years old. And in Washington State and California, the laws are passing that your parents can't stop it. This is America today. And I highly admire Dr. Ingram and some others who are going up here right now. They're going to be speaking tomorrow, trying to change at least some part of this evil and make a difference for the glory of God and for the sake of the children of this nation. Let's go to the phone. Let's talk to Gary in Arizona. And by the way, Dr. Ingram, Gary has been a pro-life crusader for many, many, many years. He and his wife have been on the streets trying to save babies. Go ahead, Gary. Come on in.
Thank you very much, Butch. Excuse me, ma'am. What was your name again? I'm sorry. I didn't catch it.
Oh, that's okay. It's Ingrid Scott.
Hey, with, okay. You know, I pray that everybody that's listening to this show right now, and maybe somebody just going through the shortwave and came across this show, would pause at the end of this show and lift you up to Jesus Christ. You know, the way, the truth, and the life. Because what you're doing is telling people the truth. And you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so I pray that everybody that's listening here will pause and pray and continue to pray that people like this will have a voice, and a voice will ring out throughout America. You know, we need that so very much. And as Butch, as you were just talking about, the first thing when the children came out of bondage to Egypt, and God promised them the promised land, and he told them, when you go in, you tear down the groves, and you tear down the idols of Molech, who people are sacrificing their children to Moloch. And he made that very clear. And he also made it very clear, if you do not do these things will come back upon you.
That's right.
And that's where we're at today. The judgment of God is on America because the church has been silent. And I know what I'm talking about a lot of these congregations, but bless God, last Sunday I was invited to speak at one, and I talked to them about what you're talking about now, about these two pills. And the damage that they are going to cause to that poor little bitty baby that's made in the image of God. And we need to stop this, and we need to stop this now. And we need to speak with the loudest voice. So if you belong to a congregation, you get with the pastor of that congregation or the priest or whatever that you go to, and you let them know that this woman's going to be speaking in front of Congress, and that God would put his protective hand on her and speak through her. And so I thank you, ma'am, so very, very, very much for what you are doing. And I want to change this for just for a second. And I say, hey, Butch, did you get a couple of shekels, extra shekels that I sent you this month?
I did. Thank you so much. I sure did, Gary.
Okay, I just want to let everybody else know, you know, you could do that too. You know, just drop it in an envelope, put the old address on it, and keep them on the air.
Gary,
God bless you both.
Gary, hang on a second. I want to ask a question. How long have you and Donna been on the streets, and I talked to people about this murder of children? How many years now?
Well, I'll back up. You know, when I first come to Jesus Christ in 1983, right away, I found out what was happening to these little bitty children. And so by word of mouth, we have been speaking up for children, you know, in various congregations, all over the place. And we found out that a lot of people would identify the problem, but would do nothing to bring it to an end. So about 7 years ago, we have 21 churches in the community that we live in, and I went to all 21 of them and asked them to help, and only five of them would come out there with us on the street. But praise God, we do have five, and I picked up two more since then, so now we have seven. And you know, I never get discouraged if you're talking, because God will bless you out there. I guarantee
it. Amen. Yes, He will.
And and we put pictures of those aborted babies out there, and we also put out pictures of natural affection. Mothers kissing their babies, hugging their babies, you know, just loving on their babies. So we show both sides of the issue. And I believe that we've ministered to so many people out there by the grace of God. And I'm just so glad that he chose us to go out and do that.
Amen.
Okay,
Amen.
I'll let somebody else get on here. Okay, God bless you both.
Thanks for the call,
and Godspeed.
Thank you. And,
Thank you, Gary.
Ingrid, during the break, I asked you about, you heard what Gary said. He's been doing this, and I know he's been doing it for, you said, since 1986, whenever he became born again. And he got really active in the last 20, 30 years on the streets. You heard what he said about the churches. Most of them won't give him the time of day. How are you received by Are you invited to speak anywhere to church groups or any pastor, say, will you come on my radio show? Anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. And the good news is it is getting better, but it has been so frustrating. There was a Barna poll within the last couple of years that demonstrated that 44% of American Christians thought that the Bible did not speak about abortion. That, oh, you know, I guess they're not reading their Bible much because, of course, well, but it's clear to me that God loves that unborn child.
And the pastors aren't teaching them. The pastors are not doing their job. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the church a long, long time, and it's really only been within the last 2 to 3 years that I've seen pastors give a pro-life sermon from the pulpit. You know, there's a lot of crisis pregnancy centers, which are wonderful, but I also have seen that some pastors sort of take the easy way out, and they're sort of outsourcing their pro-life the need for a pro-life to, oh, well, we support a pregnancy resource center, which is great. But if they're not addressing it from the pulpit,
that's true,
then they're missing an opportunity. And
they're cowards. They're cowards. I'll just say like is they're cowards.
Yeah.
They don't want to lose the congregation.
Yeah, I mean, they're worried about their tax-exempt status. And,
of course.
And it is true. I've spoken probably in 3 churches over the last year or so, and each time the pastors told me afterwards that they had congregants come up and they were upset that they discussed this issue. So they do. They do get pushback about it. And I think in the current governmental environment, there is the high probability that they will lose their tax-exempt status for addressing this issue. But it's too important. Too many women are being hurt. I agree with you. It is a stain on the morality of America that we are ending human lives for very trivial. These women are in great crisis, don't get me wrong, but it's economic and financial largely, and we're ending human life, and we need to be able to recognize that this is that we can care for women so much better than just offering them this self-destructive procedure.
And but on the other end of that too, think of the billions of dollars have been made through murdering children and even through this pill. Think of the billions of dollars that the pharmaceuticals, some pharmaceutical companies have made from this pill. And I mean, this let's face it, the love of money is still the root of all evil. So this has a lot to do with it. This has been big bucks, has it not?
Well, I'm sure there's a financial gain, but I'll tell you 2 other motivations that are very sad, but I think very real: eugenics and population control.
Oh yes, absolutely.
So to a large extent, the people who drive this are not as financially driven as. There are some populations they do not want to have children, and there are some children who are less than perfect that they don't want to be born. So that's tragic, you know. And of course, we've been hearing for years that there's too many people on the earth, and somehow the media hasn't gotten the alternate message that we're actually not reproducing ourselves in most countries.
No,
so we're going to in almost every country we're going to soon have a demographic cliff that we're going to fall off, where we're going to have older people that need to be supported, and we're not going to have the young working people to support them. And then what happens?
True.
So that's, you know, another issue for another day. But I've seen this subtle shift against babies, like babies are an annoyance and babies are a burden. And no, of course, the Bible tells us they're not a burden. They're a blessing. God thinks he's blessing us by giving us children. So it really goes to the root of Genesis 1 or Genesis 1-3 to say, why are we rejecting our children when God meant them to be a blessing for us? So,
amen.
You know, a lot there, but
amen. And folks, the line's open. Like I say, we're about out of time. 844-769-2944. So I'm gonna let you kind of wrap it up here in about a minute and just turn you loose. What do you want to say to the people? What can we do to help? Give us information on getting in contact with your organization. Just tell us what we can do, sis.
Thank you. So, you know, I'm all about education. So I think the very first thing I would recommend is educate yourself as much as you possibly can. I work for LozierInstitute.org, and our mission, we're a research institute, and our mission is science and statistics about the life issue. So you're not going to get emotional pleas. You're going to get solid science. And so educate yourself so you can go to your friends and say, did you know that 60% of women who obtain abortions do so under some degree of coercion? Or did you know that 5 to 8% of women who have chemical abortions end up having an emergent surgery? Did you know, so to be able to, a religious argument is great, but, people aren't listening to our religious arguments. They're not listening to our argument that says this is a human rights violation. So I think it's important to be able to also point to the woman that they think will benefit from abortion and say, you know what, not so much. Let's show you how it's hurting her. So, but I agree. It requires prayer. It's going to require the church to engage. And so I don't know the answer to how to get the church to engage on this issue, because, like we discussed, so many pastors are afraid to engage on this issue. But it's very important. And and by the way, the Guttmacher Institute that does research from a pro-abortion perspective tells us that more than half of the women who have abortions in America come out of the church. 24% are Catholic, 17% are Protestant, 13% are evangelical. So while the church is not engaging on this issue, its daughters are having abortions.
Wow. Now, would you please let me know how this turns out after you're hearing and what you see coming? Please keep me informed, okay? Would you do that for me?
Of course I will.
Well, honey, I appreciate
absolutely.
That. We're flat out of time, but I want to thank you for what you've done, and I'll be in touch with you if you don't mind me keeping your number on hand. I'd like to get in touch with you.
Absolutely. It's been encouraging to talk with you tonight, Pastor Bush.
All right, sweetheart. You God bless tomorrow. Well, keep me. Let me know how it goes, okay?
Okay, I'll do.
Okay.
All right,
I appreciate it, honey. Thank you. Folks, I don't know what to say. What a powerful testimony. What a powerful witness. You know, last night with Miss Melina on and her story about coming out of Czechoslovakia under communist rule, and she said we're falling right into the same snares, and we know we are. We can see it coming. We know it's coming. We have fights now trying to save unborn babies, and the other side's literally attacking people physically and threatening to arm themselves to fight us. We're in a mess. We're in the hell of a mess. I just put it like it is. We are. At our own choosing, we let it happen. But if what I'm saying is important to you, if you think we're doing something that's worthwhile, folks, I have to tell you, I need some financial help, to be quite honest with you. I truly, truly do. I mean, thank God for a few of it that's come through, and I can mention names, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. But we need some financial help. Money is tight everywhere. I know that. I hate to even ask. But we got to pay the bills, or things just don't go here. And this has been the lowest it's been now in many, many months. And I just ask if you can afford it, help us if you can. If you can't, please just pray for us that God give me wisdom what to do and how to do it. I want to be able to continue this if it be our Father's will for His glory. And if y'all help us, I'd appreciate it. I hate to even ask, but if I don't and something happens, y'all feel kind of hard at me. I don't want that to happen. I want to glorify our Father above everything else. I want to edify the church. And maybe by His grace, reach some souls, lost souls. Maybe by His grace, reach some people who are truly born-again believers who need help understand what's happening. Folks, we're here to do what's right. We're here to endure to the end. Christ said in Revelation, I think 4, 5, 6 times, that He said, those who overcome. We've got to continue this battle that my song says, this is war. We've got to keep it up. We cannot quit. By the grace of God, I'll see you tomorrow night with another guest named Rob Rue. It's going to be a great program. See you there tonight.
Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.